RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Jayco. Since 1968, Jayco has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories. For more information, visit your local Jayco dealer or head on over to jayco.com.
And by the Thetford Corporation, the industry expert and innovation leader, Thetford has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, visit thetford.com.
And by Go RVing. Away is a place that's easy to find and a feeling that's impossible to forget. To find your away, visit GoRVing.com.
And by Outdoorsy, the largest and most trusted rental marketplace. Outdoorsy is making it safe and easy to make money renting your RV with full insurance, roadside assistance, secure payments, and real people ratings and reviews. Visit Outdoorsy.com to find a cool RV to rent or see how much money you can earn renting your own RV.
And by GoPower. For 22 years, GoPower has been a trusted leader in the mobile solar and power inverter market. Their solar and inverter systems and kits offer full-time or secondary power sources wherever grid power is inaccessible, unavailable, or unsustainable. To size a power system for yourself, visit gpelectric.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes, and also Sweet Maggie the camping dog.
You can read about our adventures at rvfta.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, the bling is the thing. We are exploring the world of luxury fifth wheels, one of the hottest segments in the RV industry today, and one that many RVFTA listeners aspire to.
Luckily, we have as our special guest one of the most forward-thinking product managers in the entire industry. Matt Fisher is a senior product director at Jayco, and he oversees the North Point and Pinnacle lines, which turn heads at every RV show with their stylish modern interiors and off-the-hook features and design.
You might think that a luxury fifth wheel has to wait until retirement, but Matt Fisher knows that families of all ages and sizes are buying his rigs. You are listening to episode number 197, Luxury Fifth Wheels.
Before we head into this week's featured topic, luxury fifth wheels, it's time for another RVFTA road trip tip, which is sponsored by our friends at Outdoorsy.
Outdoorsy is the largest and most trusted RV rental marketplace, and they are making it easy to make a little scratch renting out your RV. Now, we have some people in our RVFTA Facebook group that are talking about renting out their RVs, and it's great to see that some people are really making the RV work for them, right? It's not just taking away from their family budget. It's adding to the family budget.
I think it's a great way to actually make your payment each month.
Right. You can kind of make it a zero-sum game, having an RV and also cover the cost of travel. Now, some people want an RV. They love camping, but they really worry they're not going to use it enough to maybe justify the expense of the rig that they want. Say it's more of a luxury, you know, rig, or if it's a motorized or something like that.
Or the kids are in sports in the spring and summer and you're not using it on a lot of weekends. Well, why not rent it and make some money?
Right. So if you're in the shopping situation and this is your concern, will I use it enough? Consider that you could, if you can't use it enough, you could rent it too and pay for the RV and your travel, quite possibly.
And, well, depending on your monthly payment on your RV, one rental a month could pay for that.
Yeah. So visit Outdoorsy. I'm sorry. No. Visit rvfta.outdoorsy.com because now we have a special rebate code that they offered us and our listeners.
And it's special because it's big.
$100.
$100.
All right. So go to rvfta.outdoorsy.com. And if you list your RV through that link, you get a $100 rebate.
And then if you're renting an RV, mm-hmm. if you want to go out and rent one and go on a road trip somewhere, you also want to enter coupon code RVFTA at checkout, and you're going to get $50 back.
Cha-ching.
Cha-cha-cha-cha-ching.
Go to the bank with that. All right. Now, another thing that we all want to go to the bank with is our workout summaries while we're on road trips. but some of us aren't that great at that. So for this particular segment of our road trip tips this summer, I wanted to focus on something that comes up a lot in our Facebook group. And we've never really talked a lot about it. So I thought this is a good place to squeeze
it in. We've talked a lot about staying healthy on the road while you're actually traveling, while you're on an RV trip. And we've had the Fit RV on that topic. But now you're actually very specifically talking about exercising and staying fit on those days when you're driving, which it's really hard to get any exercise in. And it's also very tempting to eat bad food.
Yeah, but I also want to focus on just like exercising in particular for the entire time you're on a longer road trip. I think that I'm really good at squeezing in a workout when we go away for the weekend on a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning. It's no big deal. Where things kind of fall to pieces is on those longer summer road trips. Now, some of you, especially our runners in the groups, you're fine. Like, you just know how to go for a run every morning. There's other people like me, and I know you're out there because we've commented together in the RVFTA Facebook group. There's other people like me that tend to need that, like, person yelling at them at a gym to do burpees in order to stay fit on a regular basis. And I'll raise both of my hands and say I'm really bad at motivating myself. I need exterior motivation.
I will totally yell at you to do burpees at any time.
Then that'll just build resentment in our marriage. It has to be somebody that, yeah, I'm not married
to. You mean it'll build more resentment?
More resentment. The resentment levels will go through the roof. We can't do that, all right? I need that other person, that third party to do it. So if you are like me and you have trouble without external motivation, I just have a few things that have worked for me that might work for you.
Tell us more.
All right. So what happened was a couple of years ago, I had a ditch. I tried a Fitbit, but I couldn't use it because I ended up being allergic to the nickel. So I had to go to
her arm turned purple.
My arm. I'm allergic to Fitbits. So I ended up with an Apple Watch instead. I used a Fitbit for a little while and I was allergic. So I went to an Apple Watch. Now, the nice thing, I know that some people are like, oh, an Apple Watch, it's so, like an overpriced Fitbit. But the thing that's nice about the Apple Watch is it really gives me a more holistic view of my day, I felt like. Not just like my activity levels when I was exercising or my steps. Like, so the way it works with these rings is that you try to close 3 rings every day. You try to close your stand ring, which is just every single hour spending a certain amount of time on your feet and moving around, and you get to 12 hours and you close that stand ring. Your activity ring is like your exercise time. So right now I have my exercise time set at a minimum for 30 minutes every day. I do an hour on good days, but I have a minimum of 30, so I know I never let myself get away with not having 30 minutes of exercise every day. And then your move ring, which is your overall amount of calories that additional calories, move calories that you want to burn. And you can set that for anything you want, 300, 400, 500, 600 calories. Now, what really impacted me while we were going on our longer RV trips and like spending like 12 hours in the car that day and then 3 weeks on the road, you know, somewhere, where was our long trip last year in the Pacific Northwest? I noticed such a drastic difference in my activity level on those days. Like when it's staring at you in the face, it really does like make you feel like this is not okay. Like,
It almost could carry over then into the other days on the trip.
Absolutely. It does. I think it has a domino effect. You know, like being out of that routine for me, I start to make excuses for myself in other areas. Maybe one day we'll go on a hike, so I'll do great with my rings. But then the next day we're not going on a hike and I don't make that effort, you know, on my rings. So I'm telling you that the difference, like say my move goal is 450 calories on a regular day. On days that we were doing longer car drives or spending a lot of time in the car, I am talking I would be down at 200 something move calories. And like, it was such a drastic difference. So I really said, you know, I need to make an effort, you know, to do this. And having that accountability in the Apple Watch has really worked for me. So I know what they're expensive, but so far I've had mine for
Over a year
now, almost a year and a half, and it works as well as it worked the first day I ever got it. And I love it as much as I did.
And I think you had success on our last big trip up into Nova Scotia, which there was a lot of driving involved.
There was. And so another thing that I've done is I actually have subscribed to an app that works for me. So the app that I subscribe to is Aptiv. I'll link to it in the show notes for this episode if you want to click through and see what it's all about. Now, there's a lot of apps out there, and I've tried actually a lot, but this is the only one that really works for me, and it's because it's an audio app. So a lot of the apps like Sweat, which is really more expensive than app, and everybody loves it, but you have to look at the screen. And when I'm in a beautiful place on a beautiful RV vacation, like, I don't want to look at
Stephanie
a video.
Stephanie is very opposed to looking at screens in those situations and in almost any situation.
Now, I spend a lot of time looking at
my
phone.
We had friends over last night at our house, and I picked up my phone at one point, and I got the zombie look of death.
Yeah, wow. Well,
I froze.
Do you want to be that person staring at your phone in social situations?
I don't.
I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be married to that person either. You know, I think it's like a slippery slope. So I love that this is audio because I can do a workout and I can just put it in my ears and go. And like when we were in Nova Scotia, I'd be loving this beautiful walk. I wasn't missing out on this beautiful walk in Nova Scotia, but that guidance in my ear helped me do different intervals on the run and helped me really to keep up with my fitness goals even while we were away. Now, what they have are these short little stretch ones within Aptiv. So it's an 8-minute, 10-minute stretch, you know, program. You can do them on driving days. It's not like it's a half hour exercise. It's an hour exercise. Even if you get to the campground late, you could still do like an 8-minute stretch program and still just give your body some of that movement and everything. It's helpful for me. I've been using it now. I used it last summer off and on. And this summer I was like, yeah, I tried other things. And this summer I was like, this is the thing that really worked
for
me.
Well, you've got a big test coming up because when this podcast comes out, we'll be on our South Dakota trip.
Yeah.
And that's like a 3-week trip and there's going to be some driving involved. So
yeah,
I think you're going to do really well.
I struggle with it, but that's just something that helps me. So I wanted to share if anybody else out there really, I mean, when I'm home and we're in our regular school work routine, I'm good at going to the gym, getting my workout in, you know, I make it happen. And then once we hit the road, things can go downhill.
It's a change of a pattern.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, I'm really pumped up for today's interview. This is one of our favorite people in the RV industry. It's Matt Fisher. He's a senior product director at Jayco, and he oversees their North Point and Pinnacle lines. And these are their luxury fifth wheels. And Matt is going to really specifically talk about this category and specifically about those lines that he oversees at Jayco. And I think what Stephanie and I have learned over the years that we've been doing the podcast is that luxury fifth wheels are not just for people that are retiring, just to be blunt about it.
Snowboarding or full-timing, right.
I mean, we see a lot of younger families buying them. We see full-timers. Okay, if you're going to live in an RV full-time, mm-hmm. you might be considering a luxury fifth wheel. And we also see a lot of people who are doing seasonal sites, and
yep.
they're looking at it as their second home. And I think that these types of luxury fifth wheels are very attractive to them as well.
I also think the families that go to destinations, right? Some of our destination camping families, ones that love to go to Myrtle Beach, you know, to Ocean Lakes and just sit there for a week,
yeah.
you know, on the beach there, you know, that one-stop RV vacation.
And these luxury fifth wheels are amazing. And Stephanie, I think you remember when we were at the Jayco facility, the Jayco campus 2 years ago, we did a tour of one of the luxury fifth wheel plants. And it is incredibly impressive what goes into one. And I actually don't think they are that expensive for what you're getting, because you really are in so many ways buying a home when you buy a luxury fifth
wheel. There's a price difference. And guess what? There's also a construction difference and, you know, a materials difference and everything. So that's what we wanted this show to be about. It's, you know, the question of when you're at an RV show and you're going between RVs that cost you $20,000 and RVs that cost you $90,000. We thought, let's unpack it. Like, what are you getting for that $70,000, $80,000, $90,000? So I think that Matt's gonna really do a good job of explaining that.
Matt is the man. We love him. He's like one of the nicest guys in the industry. So stay tuned, and he's gonna educate you about luxury fifth wheels. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are incredibly excited to be here with Matt Fisher, and we're going to be talking all about luxury fifth wheels. Matt is the senior product manager at Jayco, and he oversees North Point and Pinnacle, which are some gorgeous looking fifth wheels. And we're going to go into a lot of detail about those fifth wheels. But before we do that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Thetford.
Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they have made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. Now, if you hang out on the interwebs and social media, you're going to constantly hear folks with questions about clogged toilets and black tank odors and other problems. We started using Thetford products way back when we bought our first little old pop-up camper, and we have always like played by the rules and followed directions and used the AquaSoft toilet tissue. And guess what? We don't have issues. Yeah, and we don't have problems.
And the boys do dump a lot of it in there at any given time.
Yeah, and we have three smelly boys, and that's okay. We still don't have odors except for the ones that actually come off of their beloved bodies. So you can visit Thetford.com for more information, or you can follow the links over in the show notes. Welcome to the show, Matt Fisher.
Hey, guys. I'm so excited. Thanks for having me on. My wife this morning I was going to be on with you guys, and she follows you on social media, and she's like, oh, my gosh, I love them. You're like a celebrity now. She didn't know the connection, and she follows you guys. So thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Hi, Matt's wife.
Hello,
we'll have
Matt's
to
wife.
Meet you.
can you get her?
Maybe we'll just talk to her. She sounds pretty cool.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? She loves camping. We actually, my wife and I, bought a trailer a couple years ago. It is a Jayco product. And I had to kind of convince her to let me buy this thing and to start camping. And now she's hooked. She loves it, and she wants to go more than me.
Matt, you had to sell your wife.
I did. I did have to convince her that we could have fun, and she can still shower, and she doesn't need a Hilton hotel to get away or anything like that. But she loves it.
I'm gonna
embarrass Matt for a second. Matt Fisher is one of the nicest guys in the RV industry. And so let's put that to the side. That's one thing. I think he also may be the single most athletic product manager at Jayco, for sure.
Every time we see him, he's running.
Every time we see you, you're running.
Or he's like coming back from a run or going out to a run.
We're in downtown Nashville, and Stephanie and I are like eating ice cream, and Matt runs by.
He makes us feel a little guilty. Like, we're like, oh my gosh, we're enjoying the city, and like, or we're like in Atlantic City, and we're like, you really need to go eat White House subs, and he's like, oh, I will after I go for a run.
And he'll stop and talk to you on a run, and then he'll just run faster.
No, his feet will keep moving. His feet will keep moving while he's talking.
Well, you guys obviously haven't seen me lately, so you might be surprised, but no, I've kind of slowed down on some of that. I've been really busy, so it's hard to get into, but when I have time, I do love to.
All right, so talk to us about what you're busy doing. So just tell us, what's your background in the RV industry, and how did you come to be a senior product manager at Jayco?
Maybe I took a different alternative route into the RV industry, different than expected anyway. I actually began my professional career after college as a school teacher. So, I taught 10 years in a public school system. And you know, I enjoyed being around kids. And that was really the highlight and why I went into teaching. I still today love being around kids. But, you know, the actual day-to-day teaching responsibilities were it's a grind, man.
We know
it is a grind, you know. And here I'm sitting in the classroom, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, can I really do this for the next 30, 40 years of my life? And you know, at the time I was too young and dumb not to reach out and try something. Hey, can I do this? And you know, growing up in this community, you're I don't care if you're involved in the RV industry or not, you know someone, something, and you know about the RV industry. So I decided, you know what the heck, let's do this. And I reached out to several companies and told them I was interested, and I was able to start my career here at Jayco. And I started kind of not in sales and product development. It was part of the sales department, but kind of working with some aftermarket insurance and selling some aftermarket pieces of the business. And you know, I eventually just worked into sales, and then I did that for probably 10 years. I've been at Jayco for 12 years now, and then I always enjoyed, when I was in sales, I enjoyed being out in the plant and watching, and if a dealer or a customer would have a question, I would just go out to the plant and start talking to some of those guys out there and the engineers, and man, you just learn so much. And so a couple of years ago, a product director position that I'm in now opened up, and I told them I was interested, and here we are today.
You know, Matt, one of my favorite parts about having you and in the past your colleagues, you know, on this show is to hear these real stories behind the people who are building these RVs, you know, and helping mm-hmm. build these RVs for everybody. I mean, it's just like you guys can feel kind of far away, and it can feel like this big company, right? Jayco. It's been around so long. But each of you has these really individual fun stories to hear about. And we just did my favorite part of the show.
One thing that we learned as we sort of got embedded in the RV industry is that the role of the product managers is really huge. And the consumer doesn't always see that. But like to us, we look at you guys as sort of the rock stars at Jayco that are making all these different things happen. So what does a senior product manager do? Like, what are your responsibilities?
When you're not running.
When I'm not out working out all the time. There's a wide variety of things that we do as a senior product manager. Number one, you know, we're responsible for floor plan design, what the product looks like, what goes into it, not just really colors and, you know, what color is the furniture and the countertops, all that stuff, but, you know, we're looking at the floor plan itself and trying to listen to customers and what they're looking for in a product. And then working with engineers, I have a team of engineers that luckily are way smarter than me. So I'll give them an idea of something we want to look at, and they actually make it happen. So, you know, working with engineers behind the scenes, we have an interior designer, Stacy Stewart, here, who is fantastic, and she kind of pulls a lot of the interior look and stuff together for us and brings parts and pieces in, and luckily men don't, or fortunately we have a woman there behind the scenes to tell us guys and that it looks good.
Matt, I think you're being humble. Like a Jayco, at least a Jayco. I mean, I don't know for every manufacturer. You product managers do have, a lot of your personality does go into the product line. I mean, like the toy hauler division, very different. It all looks and feels very different than your division, and that all looks very different than J-Flight. So it does seem like at Jayco anyway, the product managers do have a lot of influence on the finished product.
Yeah, for sure. I think every product manager brings a little bit of their own personal, you know, design elements into the product. Pinterest is a great resource. Houzz is a great resource. I think all of us kind of are watching the trends, and especially in residential. You know, in my world, North Point and Pinnacle, it's a lot more residential fields in there versus some of your, you know, smaller travel trailers and what have you. But, you know, we're watching those trends and incorporating them how we best can or, you know, how we can into a box with wheels, into a fifth wheel in my world. And so, yeah, we watch all that stuff. We watch the market, you know, what the trends are. And we work closely also with the sales team here at Jayco, and we help them. We answer questions with customers. We talk to customers. We talk to dealers. Just trying to help out the best we can to, as a support person as well, to different many different little levels of the RV industry.
Well, you just hinted at the direction that we really, you know, need to go in this interview when you mentioned your lines being more residential, right? Because of course, Matt, you are developing the luxury fifth wheel lines at Jayco. So in the past, our listeners, and I'll link to it in the show notes, we had Chris Barth on the show to talk about the Eagle line, right, of fifth wheels. Mm-hmm. And I'll link to that so people can go back and listen. But you have a whole separate thing going on and a whole different goal and a whole different price point to meet in your luxury fifth wheel line. So, you know, let's just start at the very beginning. Generally speaking, when you talk about a luxury fifth wheel, What are the differences between that and sort of your entry-level fifth wheel?
So, you know, being a luxury fifth wheel, you are trying to bring more aspects into the, you know, more residential feels. But also when, you talk about construction as well, which is very, very important here in our world at Jayco. But, you know, your Eagle fifth wheels are really considered more of a mid-profile. So when you step inside of a North Pointer Pinnacle, the ceiling height, the overall space is larger. One of the most noticeable areas is the bedroom. And, you know, typically our North Point Pinnacle buyers, our luxury fifth wheel buyers, are spending more time in their camper than, say, others. It's more than, even though we do get a lot of weekend campers, you know, Friday to Sunday and those type of campers, we get those, but also we get people that are in these for weeks at a time, sometimes even months at a time. So when you're in the bedroom, people are spending more time up there. You know, typically we have about 6 inches of extra bedroom height in our luxury fifth wheels just because of the profile is different. And that 6 inches is it creates a lot of extra space up there. And then there's certain elements, you know, into these fifth wheels, you know, the steps, for example. Just we try to take certain elements and to make them better going from one to the other. Appliances is another big one. When you look at your refrigerators, your stoves, your ovens, your TV sizes, you know, everything is just bigger and better type of thing.
All right, let's dive into the specifics here. Let's talk first about North Point, then we'll take a break, and in the next segment, we'll come back and talk about Pinnacle. So when we talk about North Point, can you just give us a range of MSRPs, you know, from the bottom to the top? I mean, what price range are we looking at? Of course, our listeners are going to want to know that.
Sure. In the North Point lineup, which is really our, you know, like you mentioned before, you're moving up from a mid-profile into a full-size luxury fifth wheel. Your MSRPs are going to start, say, in the upper 70s and kind of creep into that lower 90s price point.
Okay, and for our listeners and for any newbies out there, I'll say this so Matt doesn't have to. Those are MSRPs. Those are not necessarily yeah. the exact price you're going to pay on a dealer's lot. You need to go out and figure that out. But in industry speak, let's say on safe terrain here and talk
yeah,
MSRPs.
Yeah, that's why the manufacturers always get nervous about talking prices because they know it's hard to find those real-world prices out there. But you
those
know,
numbers are scary. I can just say that when I've gone to buy my last truck, I did not pay full MSRP for my truck.
Exactly. Now, you know, and we're putting that number into context with what you just said, most of your customers are spending quite a bit of time in these units. So I'm thinking your clients are snowbirds, full-timers, and
people that are
maybe
spending half the year on the road.
Seasonals, right?
A lot of seasonals, mm-hmm. for sure.
You know, it's like I mentioned, we see such a wide range of customers that are using our campers. We still get our weekend warrior people who are still going and spending a Thursday to Friday, or I'm sorry, a Friday to Sunday, just for your weekend campers. We're still seeing that. You know, we get campers who have been campers for 10, 15 years, and they've had a travel trailer. They've gone up to a fifth wheel, and then they've had their mid-profile fifth wheel for 10 years. And what do they do next? You know, they're not ready. They don't want a motorhome yet, you know, so they want to stay in a towable product. And so the
some of them may never want a motorhome. Yeah, I mean, and some of them may never want a motorhome because they love their big trucks. And a lot of fifth wheel owners, to me, I think stay in them forever. Now, those price points don't sound scary to me, because not because I can necessarily afford one myself.
Because I'm going to buy one tomorrow.
The North Points and the Pinnacles, these are second homes for people. You know, whether it is for... go ahead. Yeah.
No, you know, as far as we also do see people, you know, seasonal. A few years ago when the gas prices really, you know, creeped up, we had more people buying these and then, you know, hey, let's just leave it at the campground. Let's leave them on our property. We're going to be seasonal. We're going to leave it there and visit it. It's kind of our second home, our cottage. We get a lot of those people. Like you mentioned, snowbirds, people escaping our Midwest and where you guys are from and being smarter and going south and And then also full-timers and people who decide to make that adventure a full-time thing, and God bless them.
Yeah. So, you know, again, we know that the numbers really range, but can you give us an idea sort of those unloaded vehicle weights and the lengths? Like, what is the range that we're looking at within this line?
Can I just say that they're not liked and go on?
They're
well,
big.
No. Look, we have a smart audience. No one's expecting to get a 5,000-pound
half-ton towable.
I think everyone knows, like, big truck is required, and we always emphasize you want to get the right truck, and that's very important. But, you know, that's not your job to convince everybody to get the right tow vehicle right now.
You know, when someone says, hey, I have a 3/4-ton truck, can I tow this unit? And, there's so many different variables in that question, but typically that's what we're looking for. You know, some the North Point, you're mid 12,000 pounds, all the way up to 14,000-15,000 pounds, and those are dry weights too. That's not fully loaded, so you're obviously talking more than just your half tons. We're talking 3/4 to 1 ton trucks. Dualies get brought up a lot, so. I think most people are having to aware of, hey, these things are big, they're not light, and I'm going to need a good sized truck for this thing.
Well, one of the highlights of my time in Nashville at the Jayco Homecoming last summer, we were there, was being able to tour your units with you. That was like one of my first really great introductions to your lines, and being able to, you know, for you to point out some of those different features. So I wanted to do that on the show. And I will include pictures of some of the things that we talk about over at RVFTA for the show notes on this episode, if you want to see some of these interior, you know, points that we're talking about.
And everyone freaked out on social media when we put up
pictures of the interior,
North Points of the interiors. It really got a response from people.
So right now, Matt, why don't you tell our audience, what are sort of your interior brag points for your North Point line? You took me through last year and you were like, I love this that I did and I love that. Now tell our audience.
You impressed her. And she's very impressed with interior design in your fifth wheels, and she's not easy to impress.
Oh, that makes me feel really good. It really does. On the inside of the North Point, you know, the cabinetry, the fit and finish, we went to a little bit more sleeker design, a little bit more modern design as far as the cabinets go and the door pulls and that type of thing. But, you know, we're blessed in our community to have a large Amish population. And so when it comes to our fit and finish, we do like to brag and use that name, Amish craftsmanship and that type of thing. So, you know, our fit and finish is the first thing I really like to talk about. And, you know, in my sales pitch, I try to always constantly talk about construction. And, you know, anybody can have a pretty fifth wheel. Anybody can have a pretty color, but these are big investments. So we want to talk about construction a lot. You know, some of the other things on the inside that you'll find, the furniture, all of our theater seats, for example, I call them fully powered theater seats. So that means they have built-in LED light, USB outlet inside the theater seat. Power recline, so there's no pushing back and pushing off the floor or looking for a pull handle to recline. You just push a button and the thing reclines. It also, and you guys will appreciate this, after you've been camping, setting up, setting up is a big task. You have a massage feature built in as well as a heat feature in the theater seat. So that's a really cool thing.
Now, so you're talking about a lot of the stuff that's going to impress a guy when they walk in. Now, I'm going back in my mind to last year when Stephanie went through that North Point, and some of the things that she loved the most were very specific little touches in terms of the tile in the showers, in terms of the sinks, in terms of even some of the bench seats in the bedrooms.
Well, Matt's mentioned, when he was talking about some of the handle pulls and everything, He did mention that he was trying to move towards a more modern aesthetic. And I saw that in the North Point, where instead of maybe a swirly pull, you were working with really clean, straight lines in a lot of places in your kitchen. Even with things like your the covers on the sink, everything looked a little more, like you said the word, sleek. And for me, it was linear design, right? You're reducing that. One of the, you know, everybody talks about the swishes and the swirls on the outside, but people talk about that on the inside of RVs too. And I think that I didn't find that in the North Point. I didn't find a lot of curly Q, you know, more traditional design elements. I did feel that you were fitting into that more modern, sleek aesthetic.
Yeah, and that's part of, you know, each product designer kind of bringing in their own attributes or their own likes and what have you, their own design features. Yeah, you mentioned the shower surround has a built-in kind of subway tile design, which is really popular in homes today. And, you know, the backsplash, the stainless steel sink, and a lot more strain line. The bedroom closet doors just having a very cool design to them. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that when – you know, one of my favorite things to do is at our RV show is just to stand and listen to comments and to feedback. And when I hear somebody say, wow, look at this, you know, and it's usually over those little design features, a backsplash, maybe the when they walk in the shower and they see the LED light behind the mirror, and they open up the shower and they see that the subway design. So, yeah, a lot of those things. And then they sit down in the theater seat and they turn massage on and they sit there for a long time.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of sitting, I know that you spend a lot of time kind of moving around your units, because one of the things that Jeremy just kind of alluded to that I loved was you have these little touches like, and again, I don't know if these are coming, if these are going to be in the 2019. So I don't, you know, I'm worried about being too specific because I haven't seen the new units, but, you know, like the seat that was in one of your bedrooms. And I said, this is a perfectly positioned bench, because I hate it when I'm in the RV bedroom and I have nowhere to, you know, like sit to get something out or to put on my shoes. And you were like, yeah, I specifically wanted a seating place for people to put on shoes. Like, you have this livability idea in your head when you're designing.
Yeah, for sure. You know what, Stephanie, too, one of the best things that's helped me in that aspect is me owning a camper myself. How many people, salespeople, and I'm not trying to knock on any of my colleagues or anything, but, you know, there's really, in our industry, it's kind of sad, but how few people in my position actually use these things? And I feel like I have a huge advantage that I do. And one of the biggest dislikes of my camper is in the bedroom. When I get dressed I feel like a mannequin. Like, I feel like I can't even move to do that. There's not enough room. So I try to remember those things. And the other thing too, in my camper that totally drives me crazy is a trash can. I don't have room for a trash can. There's no design spot. So when I was first hired, I went through every single floor plan, made sure every single of one of my floor plans had a designated area for trash cans.
It's a common complaint.
It sounds silly.
No.
Those little things.
Hey, you know what you can work on next, Matt? Because everybody complains about laundry. Do you know that?
Laundry?
Where to put dirty laundry.
On the forums, everybody's always saying, where do I put my dirty laundry? And somebody's like, I put mine in the tub. I put mine here, but, there.
It's such a common complaint on forums among RV consumers to say, oh, the people that design these things never go camping. And I get that. And I see the huge advantage you have by actually owning an RV and camping. I'm also sympathetic, though, because over the years, Stephanie and I have come to realize that product managers,
you guys
work really, really hard and might not quite have the amount of vacation time to go out and enjoy these rigs that you're making that people might think you have. So I always ask our listeners to keep that in mind, you know, that it's that the RV industry is an incredibly hardworking group of people. Let's talk exterior features on the North Point. What are some things you're going to see on the outside of a North Point that are going to really impress people?
On the outside of the unit is typically, you know, when we're doing a walk around of the outside, and especially on my unit, I like to talk a lot about like the running gear and the hitch and those type of things. The tires, for example, at Jayco, we went Goodyear tires across the board. You know, on RV forums and when you Google RV tires, there's so many negative comments and negative experiences that people have that we decided 2 years ago, I think it was, to dive in head first and say, you know what, let's try to put the best tires out there we can. That's why we went to Goodyear across the board. You know, entry steps, every single North Point has the new Moride step above entry steps. They provide probably the sturdiest, safest entry steps in the market today. There's no wobble or, you know, they don't wiggle or bounce.
That's
or anything
important,
like
too.
That.
If you're stepping into, you know, it could be a $90,000 unit, that's almost like a first impression kind of place. Mm-hmm. You know, the stairs when you walk in.
It was a common issue, too, I think. Because of the height of these fifth wheels, we were using the quad entry steps with four steps. You needed that extra step there. Well, after, you know, when those things are extending down 3 feet down, they get a little bouncy, you know, the steps that we were using prior to these. So these, you know, they rest on the ground. It has a strut that helps it lift up and down. One of the things I wanted to do with those steps is make sure that there's a grab handle all the way up and down. You know, even young kids, I have a 6-year-old son, and I think about what he has to hold on to while he's going up those steps. And without this grab handle that we have today, he would have to take 2 steps on those steps without a grab handle. So we made sure that we use an extended long grab handle. So that's something we like to talk about. The utility compartment is another area. The storage space. Luxury fifth wheels have the North Point Pinnacle has the most exterior storage that you're really going to find in the fifth wheel lineup. We use what's called a drop frame. And so that creates a lot of extra storage. And these are the things that our buyers are looking for. You know, our North Point Pinnacle buyers, they're experienced campers. Most of the time they're experienced campers. They've camped before. They've most likely had a camper before, so they know what to look for. They know how much gear they're taking, their lawn chairs, their pots and pans and all that. They know what they have to fit. So they're looking at storage. They're also looking at how do I hook up my tanks, my valves, where are they?
I was going to ask you about the tanks. Are the tank sizes bigger in a fifth wheel like this than a traditional travel trailer because people are spending so much time in them?
Yes, they are. It's a great question and observation. Typically, our freshwater tanks are, 75 gallons at least of fresh water. Gray tanks, you're typically a lot. Most of our floor plans have 2 gray tanks. That's one of the attributes of moving from a mid-profile to one of our campers, our North Point of Pinnacle, is those tank sizes. And like I said, those are the type of things that on the exterior that people want to know about and they want to hear about.
All right. So we want to know, Matt, what is right now your best-selling North Point floor plan out there?
Well, it's not even close. We can't build enough of the 377 RLBH floor plan in the North Point. We're getting ready to have a large run of them. And you know, it's that floor plan that has the mid bunk room. I don't even like to call it a bunk room.
Right, because it's also an office, a studio, a den.
It's a mid den. So, and that's what makes this floor plan so special and such a good seller is that it's a multi-purpose floor plan. You know, in the past, a bunkhouse floor plan, it was always in the back of the unit. You lost like 10 feet of your camper because it was a bunkhouse. And half the time, the kids aren't even with you. And if they are with you, they're outside. So what this floor plan does is it allows this room to be a bunk room. But yet, if the kids aren't with you or sometimes they are, sometimes they aren't, then you can use it for an office. It's a storage room. It's a guy room, you know, whatever.
Great for the grandkids.
It's a multi-purpose room.
Like you said, if you have the grandkids with you occasionally, and then on other occasions, it's just the office. I mean, we have always loved that floor plan. I'm not surprised
This new generation of RVer, and when I say new generation, I'm not just talking about somebody who's 35. I'm talking about really everybody who's RVing right now. We are all really into flexibility, right? We want spaces that work for us. We're not like the people that everybody has the same house, right? With a formal dining room and a formal, we all create these spaces that work for our lives. It's just something that we're it's just the way that we've developed as a culture, I think. And so we want that same flexibility in our RVs. And I think that this is the floor plan that gives that to people. They go, oh, we can do so many things with this if it's our lifestyle. Well, all right. We do not want to short shrift the Pinnacle.
No, we don't.
We want to give it its due time on the show. So we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. And we are going to dive into some of those features of the Pinnacle. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We're incredibly excited to be back here with Matt Fisher for another segment on Jayco Luxury Fifth Wheels. Now we're going to really zone in and talk about Pinnacle, their elite fifth wheel. But before we do that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Go Power, and you might want to pop some of these solar panels on your Pinnacle if you get one.
Yeah, then it's like the ultimate machine. All right, Go Power has been a trusted, recognized leader in the business of solar technology for over 20 years. Their high-quality solar chargers, inverters, controllers, and power accessories offer a durable, dependable, and cost-effective solution for mobile power needs wherever grid power is inaccessible, unavailable, or unsustainable. Now, we've been using our GoPower solar setup for the last about
3 months,
four months now. And we have had amazing travel experiences, and we just love the fact that it's now enabling us to kind of go a little off the beaten path, but still use our RV the way we want to use our RV.
This fall, we're going to Assateague Island State Park. We have no hookups, and we don't need them.
No, and now we're feeling so not nervous about that with our new solar. It's been such an incredible experience. So stay tuned for our complete review of our solar package. It's going to be coming up on the podcast in just a couple of weeks. And in the meantime, you can go to jpelectric.com for lots of education resources and complete product information. Welcome back to the show, Matt.
Hello, Matt. How
are you? Thanks, guys.
Let's do Pinnacle. You want to talk Pinnacle, Matt? Do you like talking Pinnacle?
Absolutely. You know what? I hate to be biased, but I love the Pinnacle fifth wheel. I just love everything about it.
All right. Well, you're going to school us a little, because I feel like, I don't know if it's my mentality.
Normally walk into a North Point.
Yes,
I mean, it's true. Like, even though we're not, we're not in the market for either of them. Like, if we're RV shows, we're like, all right, let's check out all the North Points.
Yeah.
We don't walk in the Pinnacles.
I know. Maybe I feel like I'm not really
like
in that range.
So you're going to take us there. So give us that broad range of MSRPs to get started.
Okay, so we should say that the Pinnacle really is a step up from the North Point. So today, the Pinnacle is Jayco's top of line fifth wheel, and so we're pushing that $90,000 MSRP, and we're getting up there to maybe top out at 100, but it's just a step above a North Point. I like to say it's North Point's big brother. There's a lot of commonalities between a North Point and a Pinnacle. With construction, I say, look, construction-wise, they're very similar, but it's just kind of what goes into some specific items that make it a little bit bigger, better, badder.
So let's get to those points. But so basically then, when you talk about unloaded weights and you talk about the lengths, it's going to be in the same neighborhood as your North Points.
Yeah, it really is in the same neighborhood. Overall length is very similar. Weights, you can say, are just going to be just a tad bit higher because of the width. And this is one of the key features of a difference between a North Point and a Pinnacle is the overall width.
102?
A Pinnacle is considered a wide body, so it's 102 inches wide. versus your standard 96. And you know what? It's crazy what that 6 inches really does.
We know, because we're toy hauler owners. It is. I mean, you're absolutely right. I never would have imagined that 6 inches of width transforms the interior of an RV. My goodness. And I didn't know that Pinnacle was 102. Now, you can't make them any wider legally, can you?
No, that's well, and plus they won't fit down the assembly line like
that. Or through the toll booths on the East Coast.
If you buy a Pinnacle, my number one piece of advice for you is go slow through the toll booths on the East Coast.
Right. Watch the side view mirrors.
But, you know, we don't even have a slide on our toy hauler, and at 102, we don't feel like we need one. So in a Pinnacle, you're 102, and you have slides all over the place. I mean, you really are in the lap of luxury. So let's go into those interiors. So what are some of the things that would separate a Pinnacle from a North Point on the interior?
Yeah, like what are people getting for that extra spend, right? They want to like upgrade. Yep. What exactly is the upgrade?
Sure. So, you know, typically what I tell customers or even salespeople is that there's typically about a $10,000 spread between one to the other from North Point to a Pinnacle. And besides that six, inches of extra living space, one of the things that we really like to show people in the inside is the cabinetry. Your typical RV, the cabinet framework or the styles has a material called lumber core. And it's a real wood, but it's a man-made wood product. But the Pinnacle has real cherry styles. So when you open up the cabinet doors and you feel that style, it's solid cherry wood. Which is really, really unique. Typically, you don't get that until your big diesel pushers and that level of RV. The cabinet doors are what I call them residential style cabinet doors. They're a miter cut door. They're, you know, what we call a 3-inch rail around the outside with a wooden biscuit in the center of the joint. It's really, when you talk about RV cabinet doors, one of the best cabinet doors as far as quality goes in the industry. The front closet is, I love to show people the front closet of or wherever the master closet is. Sometimes it's in the rear of the unit, but when you open the closet, you'll see real cedar wood and you actually can smell it as well.
You can smell it.
It gives off that real wood scent. And, you know, cedar wood is known for helping, with smells, odors, keeping things smelling fresh, your clothes over time. Resisting mildew, all those attributes of real cedar, but just to be able to walk up there and smell that real cedar is just screams higher quality, you know? So, you know, on the inside, we have a really exciting bathroom to show you in the Pinnacle this year. One of my other colleagues, Brent Hamoud, and I designed a walk-in style shower in the 2019 Pinnacle. And it's really something you've never seen before in a fifth wheel or any towable product.
Matt, you're going to have one to show us when we get out to Elkhart next in a couple weeks?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's a date. Yeah, we'll be
at about, you know, a walk-in style shower. If you think about a newer home or, a fancy hotel maybe, where you have like a glass wall and you actually just step and walk into the shower. We've been able to incorporate that into a Pinnacle this year, and it's awesome. So, you know, just a little bit more bang for your buck, I guess you will, in some of those features.
You want to talk to us about the 5-star handling package, which is both on North Point and Pinnacle, and is definitely something that separates you guys from the competition.
Yeah. So, yeah, like you said, the 5-star handling package is found both in the North Point and in the Pinnacle. And really what we wanted to do is we wanted a way to market and to call out the handling package or the ride, the overall ride of the fifth wheel. You know, we understand that to our buyers, that's a very, very big deal is how they're towed and what it feels like when you're towing it and to know that it has the best running gear in the industry. So we looked at what we were putting in there and how can we make it better. So we created this 5-star handling package, and that 5-star kind of represents 5 major components that we felt like were very important that people want to know about. The first star, you can say, Dexter Axles. So we felt like Dexter Axles provided the best. First of all, Dexter is probably one of the best names in the RV industry. It's making the most of their axle than anybody else, instead of a lot of import materials. So along with that, we use heavy-duty shackles. There's some wet bolt fasteners that make for easy maintenance. Bronze bushings, that's part of that, another star, if you will. Suspension-wise, we use Moride rubberized suspension. And from North Point to Pinnacle, you do, you know, upgrade there. You know, on the North Point is a Moride, what we call CRE 3000. When you go up to a Pinnacle, it's 4000. And that basically is upgraded suspension in the Pinnacle. Goodyear tires, I mentioned once before, and then the Moride pin box. But when it comes to those features, and not just a name brand, but how they perform, it's really the best towing and handling experience that we felt like gives our customers. And so we wanted a way to call out those things. So that's why we created the five-star handling package.
I have to put a fine point on the Goodyear tires, because we upgraded to the Goodyear tires this year. On our Jayco Octane, we did not. That we just missed them when we bought the unit. So we had, for a year, we had not Goodyear tires. Mm-hmm. And now we have the Goodyear tires. And I really don't think I'm imagining that the ride is better. And another thing I'm certain about is they seem to maintain air pressure better. They seem to stay more steady instead of seeing like rapid drops in the air pressure as you travel. So love the Goodyear tires on our Octane. And I think that is a really great selling point for any Jayco you choose, not just luxury fifth wheels.
Yeah, and those Goodyear tires actually, in the luxury product, it's a specialty RV tire called a Goodyear Beast tire. And it was specifically designed for fifth wheels, and it has a great story to it. So I can spend a whole hour talking about tires, and I know we probably would bore our listeners to death, but
you'd be surprised.
When you talk about speed, when you talk about speed rating and thickness of the wall and tire tread and air, like you mentioned, air pressure, carrying capacity in our units is a huge factor, and all of those things in this Goodyear tire outperformed everybody else, every other tire in its class, really. So we're really happy with those Goodyear tires and glad to be partnered with them.
All right, so let's talk about floor plans for the Pinnacle. What is your best selling floor plan in this line?
Right now, the best selling floor plan is called a 36 FBTS front bathroom triple side, kind of what those letters stand for. And I, those letters are confusing sometimes. And I can just say sometimes they mean a lot, sometimes they don't. So don't get caught up on the FBTS. But anyway, FB is front bathroom. It's a bath and a half. So the very, very front of the fifth wheel, the gooseneck area, is a huge master bathroom, his and her sinks. And then there's a half bath on the main level. So it's just you talk about people walking in and saying, wow, when they see that bathroom, it's fun to watch. And the bathroom has in the Pinnacle, we did some really cool. There's an LED light around the sink. It's just little touches like that. We want people to say, wow, when they walk in. There's a close second. I got to talk about this, the KPTS, the kitchen pantry, what I call the kitchen pantry model, because in a fifth wheel, the 36 KPTS, it's hard to find another fifth wheel that has as much kitchen storage as that unit right there. So I love talking about that one.
So if you are the person that does cook in their RV, that does use that kitchen, that may be entertaining in their fifth wheel, maybe in a snowbird location, then that's a good model to look at.
Or the full-timer with the family.
Absolutely.
Or the person on a seasonal site where it really is a second home. Is there a difference between your North Point consumer and your Pinnacle consumer, or is it really kind of the same group of people that are buying these units?
You know, it's I do see a difference, but at the same time, they're the same. You know, I mentioned before that a lot of times our buyers are experienced campers, and it's a natural progression, you know, and I talk to people all the time. They've been camping for 20, 30 years. They started out in a Jayco Pop Up, and which, you know, and then they just gradually increased and upgraded over the years, and they love the lifestyle, and they end up in a Pinnacle, you know, so we see a lot of different types of campers. We still see those weekend campers, like I mentioned before, but, you know, in the Pinnacle, we start to see a lot more full-timers, seeing people using their fifth wheel for work, even work purposes, using that mid den as an office, people traveling to trade shows or what have you because of the storage. So it's we do still see a wide variety of buyers.
All right, Matt, this has been an awesome interview. I've really, really enjoyed talking to you. Let's just wrap up. What's your favorite thing about working in the RV industry, working at Jayco? What makes you excited to get up in the morning and do this job?
You know, that's a good question. It's every day is different. You know, I can be out in the plant on my hands and knees, crawling underneath something, looking at how stuff is built and how do we improve things. But also I get to talk to customers. I get to design these awesome things and be creative too. But most importantly, honestly, this lifestyle is fun. And so every day I get to work with, create fun, and I get to sell fun. And, you know, at Jayco, our tagline over the past few years has been generations of family fun. So it's family, it's togetherness, it's people being outside, it's people getting off the screens and getting our kids to quit staring at Xboxes and TVs and just being outside, and I get to be a part of that, and it's pretty cool.
Wow. We are very glad you're a part of it. We always love spending time with you when we get to meet up at these different events and just kind of see your, you know, your perspective and your passion for what you do. And we can't wait to meet up again and see what you got in store for the next year.
We'll see you hopefully at the Jayco campus. We'll be there in August. Hopefully you'll be there too.
Fantastic. Look me up and I'll show you around, take you up to the plant, show you lots of cool stuff and stuff that we're doing and stuff to come.
All right. Awesome. Hey, Matt, say hi to your wife for me.
Oh, thanks. I hope the boys are doing great.
They are.
All definitely. Right. We'll talk to you soon.
See you soon.
See you guys. Thanks.
Welcome back to the show, everybody, and a big thank you to Matt Fisher from Jayco for spending some time with us to talk about the luxury fifth wheel segment. And we mentioned earlier in the show that if you are thinking about doing seasonal camping, a luxury fifth wheel might be perfect for you. And if you want to learn more about seasonal camping, our friends at Go RVing have a lot of resources for you.
Yeah, if you're really trying to maximize the amount of time you spend camping on any given year, then you really might want to consider reserving a seasonal site at one of the many wonderful seasonal campgrounds that are out there and that might be close to your home. So when you reserve a seasonal site, you can keep your RV right there all the time, set up, and you'll just enjoy the ease and practicality of just being able to show up after a long week of work. No worries. You just drive, you show up, and everything is sitting there all packed
up and
ready.
You're not hitching. You're not unhitching. Right. You're not packing every weekend. I mean, there are so many benefits.
You're not even checking in at the office. You know, it's like everything is easy. You're just going right to your camper.
And after all the other campers leave on Sunday, you get to stay and hang out at the campground as long as you want.
Absolutely. So seasonal campers also benefit from, you know, a good discounted price oftentimes for how much you can use the campground. And there's a wide variety of costs out there. So it's really, really almost certain that you can find something that will fit your budget as a family. Now, some of the campgrounds will even allow you to rent out your site if you're going away for a week or two for your family vacation. So you can check into all those options. We've done seasonal podcasts in the past. You can just go to RVFTA and search engine seasonal camping, and you're going to get a lot of information. But you can also go over to GoRVing.com/seasonal camping, and you're going to get lots of information there too.
And if you do get a seasonal site, you're going to want to make sure that you have a lot of RVFTA merch. And the RVFTA merch shop is back for fall. And this is backed by popular demand. We opened the merch shop up in the spring for summer. We frankly sold a ton of stuff. And then everybody in our Facebook group was like, I want more. I want to order more shirts. I want a mug.
Wow. Because
people started seeing the pictures and everything. So honestly, we just decided to open the merch shop back up because so many of you didn't get to buy what you wanted the first time.
Yeah. And the thing is that we don't like beating people over the head with stuff like that. We're not very good at that. So we were like, oh, well, we think we're posting a lot about the merch shop, which is open for like 2 weeks. So we were like, we don't want to annoy everybody. So we kept putting a post, but we thought we were And then everybody's posting in the Facebook group, I missed this. I didn't see this. So we're like, okay, we didn't do enough advertising of it just because we're not good at that. We always feel bad. We always feel like we're annoying people. But here's your chance. There will not be another merch shop open until pre-holiday season. We promise. We're not going to open another merch shop.
Yeah, it won't be till Christmas. Now, if you want to buy RVFTA sweatshirts, t-shirts, mugs, flags with your family name on it, you're going to want to go to the show notes and we'll link to the merchandise shop in the show notes.
Yeah, you can also see the link on all of our social media channels, on Instagram, Facebook, in the Facebook group on Facebook. If you need to find the link to the shop, you can find the link to the shop online.
I'm going to throw something bizarre out there too. I always think that there are people that listen to the podcast that do not do any social media and do not follow us on any of the social media channels. I'm just curious. If any of you are listening and you're like a longtime listener of the podcast or a new listener to the podcast, but you don't follow us on any social media channels, send me an email. I just want to know if you're out there, if you actually exist. Okay, say hello. Okay, other news. We are going to open house this fall with Jayco, our great podcast sponsor. Open house is the biggest event in the RV industry at this point, I think it's fair to say. And all of the dealers, not all the dealers, all the manufacturers show off their brand new RVs to the dealers who do a lot of their purchasing for the year there. So Stephanie and I are going to cover all of the 2019 Jayco lineup. So if any of you are interested, you're shopping for something in the 2019 Jayco lineup, we might be able to get some videos or do a Facebook Live or give you a little bit of coverage or talk about it a little bit. So send us a message and let us know, like, what are you interested in that lineup? Because we will be there exclusively working with Jayco.
And I want to clarify, this is not open to the public. This is an industry only event. So, you know, there won't be any meetups or anything like that here, but send us your rig requests early. Don't look on social media while it's going on and be like, can you go look at this? Because you don't understand how big these are. We get those requests and people think we're mean, but we're like, we cannot go.
We're like, that's 5 miles away.
Like, we can't go running. Like, we'll plan. If we know that there's things that people are really interested in, we will plan that in our schedule and we'll look at it and we'll say, oh, I wonder if they have this. But what happens is we get to these events and then people are messaging us on Facebook and they're saying, can you find this? Can you find that? And you don't understand. It is like exhausting being at one of these things. You're covering a huge amount of ground. You're busy all day long. So tell us ahead of time and we'll try to work it out.
I would love to do a Facebook Live and show off a couple units that people might actually be interested in buying. Also, we are going to be doing some Good Sam RV shows over the course of this winter. So stay tuned for the times, the dates, and the cities. They'll be in different places across the country. We would love to see any of our podcast listeners show up for our seminars. Also, we have a story in the August issue of Trailer Life magazine all about Myrtle Beach and our great love for taking spring break trips to Myrtle Beach. And also, at this moment that you are listening to this, we are on our way out to South Dakota. And please follow along on Facebook, on Instagram, and RVFTA, the group on Facebook, to see all of our wild and wacky and fun adventures as we head out to Mount Rushmore and many, many other places.
All right, guys. Everybody, we will look forward to seeing you at the campground.
See you at the campground.